True Christians desire peace. They long for it. They're willing to set aside their prerogatives. They're willing to reach out in order to try to establish peace. Otherwise, someone who just rejects that and pushes against it and says, "No way, not me," is not a Christian.
Welcome to the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hello, I'm Bill Wright. And today, Don concludes a message titled, "Are You a Peacemaker?" as we move further into a series in Matthew called Longing for Peace. Last time, Don gave us the first three of 4 points concerning peacemaking. He told us that being a peacemaker means working at it, sticking to the righteousness taught in God's Word. We also learned that righteousness requires peacemaking. On today's program, we'll get the final point concerning the rewards of peacemaking. So have your Bible again open to Matthew chapter 5 as we join our teacher now in the Truth Pulpit.
Yes, you have to work at peace. Yes, peacemaking requires righteousness. But thirdly, for you here today, this is the heart of the message. Thirdly, understand this point. Righteousness requires peacemaking. Righteousness requires peacemaking. I just flipped the points, didn't I? Peacemaking requires righteousness. We covered that. Now where the Word of God really sifts us is at this point, that righteousness requires peacemaking. Beloved, those of you who name the name of Christ, God's Word comes to you in an imperative way, in a commanding way here today, and tells you that your pursuit of peace in your personal relationships is not optional. It is not something that you can take or leave, like choosing whether you're going to put butter on your bread or not. It's not a matter of personal discretion. This is a command that Christ makes on all of His disciples, is that you must be a peacemaker. A Christian, a true Christian, must be a peacemaker. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 with me again. I want you to see this very clearly. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." God's favor rests upon the peacemakers. Why? "For they shall be called sons of God." They are the ones who will be called the sons of God. It's the peacemakers who will be called the sons of God. It's the peacemakers who truly belong to His family. In this beatitude, just like all of the other ones that we've looked at, this is an extremely emphatic statement in the Greek. By word order, by the pronouns that are used, by the contrasts that are established, this verse is standing, as it were, on the platform and shouting, saying it's they and they alone that shall be called the sons of God. Someone who is not a peacemaker is not and will not be called a son of God. This is central to Christianity. This is central to true Christian character, that there is a peacemaker that God is describing as His son. Step back. This gets really searching, doesn't it? I sympathize with you. True Christians pursue peace. True Christians are never happy to have conflict in their life. True Christians desire peace. They long for it. They're willing to set aside their prerogatives. They're willing to reach out in order to try to establish peace. Otherwise, someone who just rejects that and pushes against it and says, "No way, not me," is not a Christian. It's that clear. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And then we need to unpack what this means. Stated negatively, a peacemaker is not someone who loves an argument and loves and just enjoys and luxuriates in conflict just for conflict's sake. and goes out and provokes people, knowing that they can just start an argument and they can get in an argument and make someone else mad. That is contrary to the spirit of Christ, contrary to the spirit of being a peacemaker. On the positive side, Jesus speaks about this a lot in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. On the positive side, in terms of understanding what this means, a Christian, someone who truly belongs to the kingdom of God, beloved, actively makes peace by resolving conflict and promoting harmony in his relationships. I'll say that again. What Jesus is talking about is someone who, in their personal relationships, actively look to resolve conflict and to promote harmony in their relationships whenever that's possible. Scripture does say in Romans, insofar as it depends on you, be at peace with all men, recognizing that sometimes it is outside of our ability to bring peace. Scripture realizes that. And so God's word today is not making an unattainable demand on you that you must go and make everybody be at peace with you, because Scripture realizes that that may not be possible. Sometimes in church leadership, it's just not possible. We operate as men in the flesh and have the same limitations that you do in your personal relationships. Sometimes people don't want to have peace. And at that point, we say, God bless you as you go. But it's never out of what you want. It's never without you reaching out and trying to establish it. But sometimes people just say no, and they won't have it. But we're not talking about them today. We're talking about you. And what does this mean? How can we see what Jesus has in mind when he makes this general statement about being a peacemaker? Well, let's just see what he says in the rest of the sermon. One way that he points it out and highlights it as a priority is, he says, you need to make peace, and you need to seek peace before you even seek to make worship a priority in your life. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. Matthew 5, verse 22. This is the same sermon given on one occasion. Jesus lays out these principles of character, and then he expands on them later on in the sermon. And here's what we see. Verse 22. Jesus says, I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. So you see this, these principles of anger and retaliation and conflict in the heart are things that Jesus says, beware here, there is guilt enough in that to send a man to hell. What are you supposed to do? Verse 23, therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Peace is such a priority to the Christian that he realizes if the situation called for it, he would miss a worship service in order to be reconciled in a relationship rather than just going in and discounting and dismissing the conflict and saying, I don't care about that. God, here's my offering. No, peacemaking is disposed to peace and realizes that God calls us to seek peace and to seek reconciliation as part of that which we would bring to him as worship. God, I come to you presenting my offering of praise, presenting my offering of worship. I come as a peacemaker, not one who is harboring and storing up conflict in my personal life that I don't want you to know about or to address. Jesus goes on. What does this peacemaking look like? It means that you reject that spirit of retaliation that we all feel when someone offends you. You repent of, you resist a spirit of retaliation as an animating principle in your heart. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 and 39. All of these verses we'll examine in greater depth in the weeks and months to come. Jesus said, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. What Jesus is saying here is he's saying, avoid that spirit that wants to strike back as soon as someone offends you. You hit me, I'm going to hit you back. Says, don't be like that. Don't let that spirit animate your heart. Reject that spirit if you're one of my disciples. On a positive side, it means that you show kindness to your enemies. Look at verse 43. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. See it there, sons of God, sons of your Father who is in heaven. For God causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Jesus says, look at God your Father. What does He do toward His enemies? He brings the sun up and sends rain on them, just like He does on His own people. He shows goodness even to those who rebel against Him. He says, you recognize that and you go be like that also. What's a peacemaker do? He prays with integrity. Look at verse 12 of chapter 6. These are just illustrations from Jesus' own words. Chapter 6, verse 12. And again, you see the principle of having a peaceful heart before you even approach God. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Oh, beloved, how quick are we when we've got a problem with another person? There's a conflict, and our spirit is to go to God and say, God, deal with that person. And God, help me and change them. When the call of Christ on your heart as you come to prayer is, you make sure that you have a forgiving spirit when you're approaching a God who has forgiven you, if you're going to pray with integrity. If you want God to hear your prayer, understand that there needs to be a peaceful, forgiving spirit in your own heart before you do. And that if you're unwilling to do that, oh boy, the spiritual consequences of that are great. Primarily, what this means is, this peacemaking, it means that you start with yourself. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. And I speak with soft words, knowing that this is convicting. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. Jesus said, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? Look at what Jesus says. You hypocrite. First, you see how we keep coming back to these principles of priority? First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Jesus makes this opening statement, you be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. They're the ones who are the sons of God. And then as he goes through the sermon, he just multiplies illustrations and applies it and helps us see it in ways where every one of us falls short and feel convicted by it. What are we to do with that? Well, beloved, here's the thing for you. This is in some ways, this is an advanced course in sanctification. It's an advanced course in Christian living, because all of us, you and me, all of us are prone to have little walls that we build up in our mind and in our hearts where we say, I am not going there. And you don't know what happened in that relationship in the past. There's no need to talk about it. I am not going there, and I will not be reconciled to that person. What you have to realize, beloved, is it doesn't work that way. Jesus does not allow that in his disciples. And so, stated differently, a Christian, and boy, do we need to hear this even in a day like this in our country, a Christian does not criticize the sin that he sees in the world and then become, while he's simultaneously being an argumentative pain in the neck to live with at home and at work. It's not like that. See, the reverse is what Christ calls you to. He says, you be a peacemaker in your personal relationships, and then Christ will worry about what's going on in the world that's under his sovereign control. Beloved, don't talk about, please, please, I beg you, God's word commands you, don't be somebody who just harps on the sin of the world while you are just a pain in the neck to live with, and you won't even reconcile and be peaceable with those that are around you. There is no integrity in that. That is not true Christianity. Christ did not save you in order to make you a critic of the world while you were an obstacle in your home. That's not true Christianity. That has nothing to do with being a Christian. No, a true Christian has the integrity to say, to humble himself before God and say, where is it in my sphere of relationships that I need to begin spreading peace? If you are a man or a woman that has a quick temper, or if you're a man or a woman that harbors ongoing, settled bitterness toward your spouse or your family, you need to take spiritual inventory. Christians are peacemakers. Christians are peace doers. Christians love peace and realize that conflict is not goal one. That an angry temper is contrary to the spirit of peace that animated Christ. It is contrary to the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Where is an angry temper? Where is an irreconcilable spirit? Where is settled grudges and bitterness fit in that life of the Spirit of which Scripture speaks so clearly? Where? You know what? You can't find it because it's not there. The Scripture describes it a completely different kind of character. We are advocating, we are describing, we are expounding what true Christianity is. And true Christianity is not someone who makes a verbal profession and then lives in anger and bitterness all his life. That's not true Christianity. Is there forgiveness for your angry spirit? Yes, there is. Blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. That's not the point. The point is, what's your view toward conflict? What's your view toward disruptions in relationships? Rather than being at war with people, my brothers and sisters in Christ, you need to declare war on that part of your inner man that accepts conflict and even revels in it. And to realize, I've got to put that to death because Christians are peacemakers. My king is a king of peace. He's a prince of peace. I got to change. I can't be like this anymore. And so what's up with you? Are you a peacemaker or not? Maybe you need to confess sin as a Christian and just deeply repent and be grateful to God that He's a merciful God who receives us in mercy when we come to Him in repentance. Isn't it wonderful that He's like that? Why should we live this way? Why should we care about these things? Jesus packs that into this verse as well. Point number four. God will reward peacemaking. God will reward peacemaking. He'll honor it. He'll bless it. God honors His people when they try to spread this kind of righteous peace. Go back to Matthew chapter 5, verses 8 to 9. Here is your motivation. If you say, oh, dude, I see it, but this is just so much. There's so much at stake here. This is so long standing. How can I even get started? Get started here. God honors and God blesses his people. Look at verses 8 and 9. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Christian, here's why you can be a peacemaker. Here's that which establishes a core motivation in your heart to overlook earthly wrongs and to seek reconciliation when you can. You're not going to find it on a horizontal dimension. You're going to find it by looking up and seeing how God views his people. Verse 9, they shall be called sons of God. The term son here emphasizes that the true Christian reflects God's own peacemaking character. God looks at his peacemaking children and says, that's one of mine. I see reflections of myself in the way that they are trying to do this. I'll give them the honor of being declared one of my own. You see, it's not only that one day we'll see God in heaven. That would be wonderful enough. But beloved, you need to treasure what I'm about to say. You need to treasure this truth that I'm about to unpack for you. It's not just that you're going to see God as a Christian. You are going to see God in the capacity that he is your father. What can we say about a father and son? The son is welcome in the father's presence. The son bears a reflection of the father's nature. The father receives the son in peace without fear. God, the uncreated, immortal God from all of eternity past to all of eternity future, unchanging, immortal, invisible, independent God, holy above the nations, will look at you and receive you into heaven and say, yes, my child, come. You belong to me. That's precious. And when you realize what the outcome of the peacemaking life is, you've got all the motivation you need. You know what? It should be settled in your heart that the thing that is most precious to me is still in my future. The most precious thing that you could ever, ever have is for the Lord Jesus Christ to meet you, as it were, at the gates of glory and says, yes, my child. Welcome. Enter into the joy of your master. Well done, you good and faithful servant. Well done. I saw you seeking peace when no one would have it with you. Well done. You were like me in that. Well done. You were faithful when there was no earthly reward for it. Well done. And to recognize that when the Son of God says to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant, more than abundant reward is that for all of the earthly effort that you make at peacemaking with people who don't want to cooperate. Well done! And with grateful tears of joy, you respond, Lord, thank you for even making it happen. Thank you for the death and resurrection of yourself that reconciled me. Lord, I may have been an imperfect peacemaker on earth. Lord, you were the ultimate peacemaker. You were the great peacemaker because it was you who purchased my peace with God at the cost of your own blood. Thank you for the reward, but oh Christ, I give you the glory. You are the peacemaker here. And to be in his presence with that spirit is worth whatever peace costs here on earth. Are you a peacemaker? The reward is great. It's work for a time. It's a reflection of what Christ calls us to be.
As Pastor Don Green has reminded us today on the Truth Pulpit, the world is full of conflict. Let's face it, that's a distinguishing feature of natural, unredeemed human beings. As followers of Christ, we must be peacemakers. We hope you now understand better what that entails. Next time, Don begins to provide some practical steps to peacemaking as he continues the series, Longing for Peace. So plan now to join us. But right now, Don's back here in studio with some closing words.
You know, friend, we realize that you may not be close enough to our church to be able to join us as you would like to on any given Sunday. So let me invite you to join us on our live stream that you can find at our website, Sundays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And also, we have a midweek service on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. We would love to have you join us in that way. A lot of people do. You might as well be one more that join us for those special studies of God's Word and our church services on Sundays and Tuesdays. Here's Bill with some final information to help you find us.
Just visit thetruthpulpit.com, where you can also learn more about this ministry. Once again, that's thetruthpulpit.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time for more from The Truth Pulpit.